We're going to continue in our study of the Gospel of John, right? We're studying the Gospel of John for a purpose. You know that. Our purpose is given to us in John chapter 20, verse 31, which says, "These are written
that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name."
Wow, wow, wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's why I got to tell you, you're so much better than second service. You think I just say that, okay? That's what you just say that. Come second service sometime, okay? You'll see. I don't know what it is with them. Or don't come second service, it's too crowded. The purpose for us studying the Gospel of John is that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, the prophesied Messiah, that we might know that he is the only and unique Son of God. And finally, that believing in him, that we may have that abundant life that is promised in his name. Over the past few weeks, we've been with Jesus in Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. If you were here with us, you remember that. If not, we'll get you caught up. During the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus would go and teach daily in the temple. After the feast, he continued to go to the temple. And he was there the day after the week-long feast, and he was teaching. And the Pharisees brought a woman and threw her at Jesus' feet and said, "We caught this woman in the midst of adultery in the very act. Our law says to stone her, but what do you say?" And Jesus said, "He who is without sin amongst you, cast the first stone." And one by one, the accusers left, and Jesus asked the woman, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "They've left." And he said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." And then he continued to teach. And as he taught, he made some startling claims that created division amongst the people. Some said that he was the Messiah. Others said, no, he leads the people astray. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He said, "I am from above. I'm not of this world." He said, "If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." And then he said, "Most assuredly, I say, before Abraham was, I am." And that was too much. Then they wanted to stone him. However, he went through the crowd, and they weren't able to stone him because his hour had not yet come. So we're with Jesus right now. He's walking out of the temple. He's created this big hullabaloo, this big brouhaha, this big hubbub. Okay? The crowd is not happy. Now, you would think that Jesus would be in a hurry to get away from the temple, right? Wouldn't you? People want to stone you. You want to put some distance between those rocks and you. So Jesus is walking with his disciples outside the temple. And it says in chapter 9, verse 1, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. They come outside the temple where there would be the lame and the blind. They would beg at the gates of the temple. Primo spot for begging, right? People coming in to give alms before you go to church. Hey, that's a good thing. Primo spot for begging. And there's a blind man. And the Jews had this misconception. And I've got to say, we still somewhat have this misconception in our minds and in our society. See, they see this guy that's blind and they say, there must be a cause for this blindness. Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin that caused this? You know, we get that. Hey, if someone's doing well, we say they're blessed. Do we not? Christianese, man. Oh, they're blessed. They're doing well. They're so blessed. Are we saying that the person who isn't doing so well is cursed? No, I didn't say they were cursed, but did you say they were blessed? No. So we look at situations and circumstances and we come with this whacked judgment of ours. Who sinned? Jesus responds. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus stops. He says, again, I am the light of the world. And he proves it by giving light to a man who was in darkness. It is so, so cool here. A few interesting things that I want to share with you right out of this paragraph here. First of all, Jesus wasn't in a hurry. He stopped. Don't pass me by. Sometimes we think Jesus is busy, too busy for us. He wasn't too busy to stop. I mean, I find that interesting because I would have thought that he would be in a hurry to get away. But he stops to touch this man, to heal this man. As he healed this man, or after he healed this man, I wonder if people said to this man, wow, dude, you sure were lucky. You were lucky. Oh, man, you were lucky to be there. Was it luck? Was it coincidence? No. It was a God incident. Oh, why is this man born blind? That the works that God may be glorified in him. Right here, right now, today. That I do the work of God in his life right now. The most interesting thing to me is Jesus stuck mud in this guy's eye. In fact, I don't label sermons. I call them John chapter 9. But this one I had to label. Here's mud in your eye. He stuck mud in his eye. Okay, how many think that is normal? That is weird. Have you ever, who's ever had a little bit of dust or dirt in their eye? How much do you enjoy it? I wonder. I don't see this guy yelling and screaming. It hurts. Oh, what are you doing? Why are you picking on me? You don't see that. You don't see Jesus saying, Peter, hold him down. All right, boss. Right? James and John, oh, get it in there. Should we call down fire from heaven too? It's weird, huh? It's really weird. It's very, very strange to me because this is what I know. Jesus could have said, be healed. Or he could have just said, see. Or he could have just walked by and healed the guy without saying anything. We see blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, heal me. And Jesus told blind Bartimaeus to be healed. Be healed. He is healed. We see Jesus touching the eyes of another man, but not with mud and spit. God is sovereign. It's great that Jesus doesn't heal the same way all the time in the Word. You know why? Because if he did, we would get into mystic and magical little formulas. It would be the dirt and spit ministry. Yeah, we come here, you'd be spitting on each other. Awanahaka Loogie Ministries. Oh, that's gross. You don't think it would happen? I guarantee you it would. The other thing to notice is that this man participated in his healing. He allowed Jesus to put mud on his eyes. Hey, the spit thing, look, they thought spit had medicinal properties to it, okay, in case you're wondering, what's with the spit, okay? He allowed Jesus to put the mud on his eyes. And then Jesus told him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And the man went. He did what Jesus told him to do. Better? All right. He participated, he listened, and he was obedient to what the Lord told him to do. He didn't argue. You put mud in my eyes and then you tell me to go dunk my head in a pool of water? You crazy? He went. And when he went, he saw. His eyes were open. He complied to what Jesus told him to do. Therefore, verse 8, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." The guy came back from the pool seeing. People looked at him and said, "Hey, you ain't that blind guy, are you?" "No, he's not him. He looks like him, but he's not him." He had an encounter with Jesus, and people didn't recognize him. Have you had that encounter? Oh, I remember. I remember it well, man. I went to California from Idaho. I was praying, I was seeking God. Before I knew it, I got saved. I came back, and I went to work. I was an engineer, and so I worked real closely with a draftsman. His name was Fred Grooms, Freddie. And so I was working with Fred after I'd got saved. About a day, maybe 2 days, I remember Freddie going, "What happened to you? You're not the same. You're not the same person anymore." Cool. I had an encounter with Jesus. I wasn't recognizable as the old person. My life had changed. That's how it should be when we have an encounter with Jesus. In verse 12, this man, he's had this encounter. He's not recognizable. Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know. Where is this Jesus?" They brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. Hey, this might have been the first time he was inside the temple. Most likely it was. "Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, 'He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see.' Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?' And there was division among themselves." This is so great. You know, I love this. This is like an in-your-face slap to them. See, earlier in the day, the Pharisees had tried to trap Jesus, remember? With the woman caught in adultery. We're on the same day, folks. The same day. They try to trap him. Arla says, what do you say? He's saying he's the light of the world. He's saying that he is I am God. They want to stone him. He goes out. He heals this guy. And now he's standing in front of them. Healed. They're angry. He can't do this. It's illegal. It's against the law. It's on the Sabbath. How dare you? And there's division. All through the Gospel of John, we see division. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." He came to bring division between those who would believe and those who wouldn't. those who would accept him and those who would reject him. And we see it all through the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of John. When he broke the bread and fed the 5,000, after that he said, I am the bread of life. He said, the bread that I give will be my flesh. And remember, there was division between the people. How can this man give us his flesh? And they quarreled among themselves. People were divided about him at the Feast of Booths. As the feast started, they were looking for him. Some were saying, he's a good man. They were talking about the things that he was doing. Others were saying, no, he deceives the people. There was division. And now there's division again. And so the Pharisees, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. He said, oh, he's a prophet. Remember when he started, he said, amen. What happened to you? A man named Jesus. Well, now he's going beyond saying he's a man. He's more than a man. Oh, he must be a prophet. God must have sent him. If he's doing this, doing these miracles, he must be a prophet like Elijah. He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Oh, we don't believe this, that this guy's been blind. This is a hoax. It's a trick. It's done by the National Enquirer to make us look stupid. Boy eats dog. Till they called the parents of him who had received his sight. They did not believe. Till they called the parents. And they asked them, saying this, is this your son whom you say was born blind? We don't really know that he was, but whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see? If he was born blind, how does he see now? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees? We do not know. Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Hey, they were afraid of the Jews, of what they would do. Hey, man, this is our kid. We know he didn't see before. We know he sees now. We don't want to be booted out. We don't want to be excommunicated. Hey, ask him. He's of age. The Jews, you became of age. I believe it was when you were 13, when you had your bar mitzvah, a young boy became a man and was of age. Ask him. This man's a man. He's not a boy. So this is the third time that they ask. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. They're swearing oath. Give glory to God. Tell the truth. We know this man is a sinner. This is our opinion. We're righteous. We know what's going on. If you have any sense, you'll agree with us. But he has no sense. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Great words put into a song, eh? You know it? John Newton wrote it. Amazing Grace. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? He's toying with them. This is great. Do you also want to become his disciples? Like, I had never been in the temple. Didn't really care. Wasn't scared. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. Now, wait a minute. Earlier on, they knew where he was from. When Messiah comes, no one knows where he is from. But this man, we know where he comes from. So they just changed their arguments to fit the circumstance, right? Hey, check it out. If you don't want to believe in Jesus, one excuse is as good as another. We don't know where he's from. Well, they said they did. They knew he was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, the healed man, he doesn't just let him off the hook here. He presses the point. Actually, he taunts him. The man said to them, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he's opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. And since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I was blind. He healed me, and you don't know where he's from. This is amazing. Are you guys kidding me? In verse 31, he says an interesting thing. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. It's an interesting verse. It's true. But then again, it's not true. Don't build a doctrinal foundation on this statement. You could find yourself in big error. We know that God does not hear sinners. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. You should be familiar with this verse, okay? So you might want to turn to it and take a look at it. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Hey, Psalms, Ecclesiastics. Hey, look, I'm there at Isaiah 59. Hey, what page?
683.
Okay. There you have it. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. You've heard this before. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Why will God not hear? Because of sin. Because of sin. Now, in Luke, you want to go to Luke chapter 18? We'll get back to John. Luke 18, verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who were trusting in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbled himself will be exalted. Who did God listen to? The sinner. But God doesn't hear sinners. As we read here in John and also in Isaiah. True, but also false. When is it true? When someone doesn't repent. When they are willfully and habitually, knowingly in sin and they will not turn. Then you're just fooling yourselves. Where you're sinning willfully and then you're praying. Man, God's not going to listen to you. God's not going to honor your prayers. But once you humble yourself as a sinner and pray, all right. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud, right? So it's all a matter of the heart, right? If God didn't hear sinners, check this out, who could be saved? No one. Oh, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Can't. You're a sinner. Can't hear you. Right? We'd be toast. All right, let's go back to John. Thank you, Lord, that you hear repentant sinners. We're John 9. Get to 9. Okay. I think we're at verse 34. Does that work with all y'all? Okay. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. That means they excommunicated him. They booted him. He has no place in Judaism. Jesus heard, verse 35, that they had cast him out, and he went looking for him. Look at this. We know he went looking for him because it says, and when he had found him, he went looking. And he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? I don't know. Who is he? Who's the Son of God? And Jesus said to him, you've both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Wow. This is the first time that he's seen Jesus. Oh, you know him. You've seen him. When did I see him? Oh, you've seen him. You've seen him move. You've seen him work in your life. I didn't see him visibly. No, but you saw him. Did he hear Jesus' voice and recognize? People who are blind have very good, excellent voice recognition. Did he recognize the voice? Click. Oh, it's you. And he worshiped. The word means to kiss one's hand. Or in the Eastern tradition, bow down and be subservient. Acts of homage at another's feet. He couldn't worship in the temple. He's booted. But he bows before God and he worships. You know, this act that he's doing won't get him kicked out of the temple. What's the penalty for what he's doing? Do y'all know? It's death by stoning. Worshiping, giving worship to another who is not God, calls for death. He's not worried. He worships Jesus. He's been touched by him. His eyes have been opened up. The only thing he can do is bow down and worship him. And Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him, hey, Pharisees came around him again. They saw what's going on, and they heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. The religious people, as religious people are apt to do, thought they had it all together. They've got it wired. Jesus is opening eyes of those other people, those sinners, those people who really need to see. But hey, we see pretty good already. As religious people, doesn't that sometimes happen to us? Don't we sometimes fall into that trap? Oh, it's for those sinners, but not for us. Because, hey, we're doing pretty good. We've got it all together. But you know what? We don't have it all together. Man, we need Jesus to bust the scales off our eyes just as much as people who haven't even met him yet. We're not perfected. We're being sanctified as we go along on this journey. He's changing us from glory to glory. And we need him to touch us, and we need him to transform us. We need him to bring light into our lives. Well, when we get to that point that we think that no, we're seeing 2020, we're seeing as clear as we're going to see, we're in trouble. Because what you're saying is the Lord's already done that work. He doesn't want to do anything else in you. Is that really true? It's not. I guess the thing that we have to ask is, are we really seeing things clearly? Or do we just think we do? My wife went and got some new contacts. And you know what she's saying? Whoa. Whoa. It's been a few. I got to go and have my eyes checked tomorrow and get some new specs. And I know I'm going to be going, oh, this makes me dizzy. I'm not used to seeing things so clearly. Yeah. But we can think we're seeing pretty good when we're really not seeing too well, right? Do we see things in the light of Scripture? Do we look at things and judge things in the light of Christ? Do we think that Jesus is too busy to give us vision and understanding? Do we stop him and spend time with him? Do we allow him to do the work that he wants to do in our lives? You know, we can resist what the Spirit wants to do. We're given a free choice. Jesus, go ahead, put some mud and spit on my eye. I'm not seeing things the way I should. Or are you willing to allow him to do that? Go dunk your head in a tub of water. I don't want to do that. Are you letting him do the work in your life that he wants to? Is it a coincidence that we're together? Is it a coincidence that we're here, we're going through this? Is it just kind of how things were? Or do you think that God has a greater purpose for us gathering on Sundays and going through his word? I think God wants to work in our lives. Look, if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, that's no coincidence that you're here right now, that we're talking about this, that Jesus is the light of the world. If you're here and you've been in sin, and you've been playing around and fooling yourself and being deceived, it's no coincidence. We're here and the Lord wants to touch our lives. He says right here, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, he's got to bring light. Is he in the world right now? Still. He is in the world. His presence in our lives. Doesn't he want to work in our lives? Look, I don't want to just come to church and just teach this stuff without having a real intimate encounter with Christ. Man, I pray, oh God, that somebody, that all of us would walk out of here today and people would go, no, that's not him. He's like him, but that's not him. That's not her. And she's talking different. She's acting different. Doesn't seem to be the same person. What happened? Man, I had another encounter with Christ. And it radically changed me again. We're being transformed from glory to glory. Over and over. More and more. We're becoming like Him. But you got to open yourself up. Man, just die to yourself and open yourself up to Him. Well, what will happen? Maybe some evil spirits will come into me. They can't. Okay? Open yourself up to Christ. Fully surrendered. Here I am. I mean, come and possess me. Come into my life. I want light in my life. Chase out all the darkness. Like, I can pray with you, but I can't do this for you. Yeah, I have sat at home and I have prayed and I've said, oh, Jesus, man, I don't like this. Get rid of this. I've asked Him. I've been in my vehicle going, Jesus, I see this in my life. I don't like this. I expose it to the light. Come on, Lord. Change it. And you know what? Every single time, and it's happened more than once, that I've done that, He's faithful. And He does that work in our lives. And I got to tell you, if you're not going to Him and you're not allowing Him, you're cheating yourself. You're just cheating yourself. Your encounter with Christ should be awesome. It should be life-changing. It should be transforming. And He's here today to change your life, to change my life. Oh, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord God, these are true words. We know, Lord, that we can be so blind, Lord. We can be deceived. We can be living lives of sin and coming to church and crying out and just acting with our prayers getting no higher than the ceiling. Lord God, we ask that You would remove the scales from our eyes, that, Lord, we could see clearly. We pray, God, that You would give us new vision, new revelation of You, that You would transform us from glory to glory. And we pray, Lord, knowing that someone here today might not know You. And we pray for them that right now that they would surrender, that You would give them eyes to see who You are and ears to hear Your voice. That, Lord, You would give them eternal life today, that You would take away their sins. Lord, we know that You went to the cross and died for us, and we thank You. We pray, Lord, that You would come and touch our lives this morning. That, God, You would be glorified. We pray, God, that we might say, I was blind, but now I see because of what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus is going to do in my life. We love You, Lord. We praise You. We ask that You would bless us. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.